Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
So I would like to share with you, I don't want to, God asked me to, so let me requalify. God asked me to share with you some of my junk. How about that? You guys want like that perfect person or person who acts perfect to put on a pedestal? Come on, all campuses, do you want that?
No.
Or would you rather have real, authentic, tell me how you messed up so I can miss that pitfall kind of stuff? Okay, I see how you are. All right. Well, it's a lot easier to hear it than it is to tell it, so I'm going to need your encouragement today, okay? You guys willing to encourage me? Okay. I wanted to put an Oscar the Grouch life-size on the stage, but we couldn't find one, and the reason I wanted to do that is because about a week or so ago, I was literally Oscar the Grouch. I was in the middle of the fulfillment of a blessing that I had been praying for. So it's funny, you can be grouchy in the middle of a blessing. Is it just me? Is it just me? Come on. I want to hear you well, then I want to hear you first for Earth City. Is it just me?
No.
Oh, that's good, because I thought it was at the time. You see, in 2018, I put on my vision board that I wanted to speak in a secular arena. That was a desire that was in my heart. Put it on my vision board last week of March 2019. God brings it to pass. So here we go. We work real hard all week. We get on a plane. We travel. We get there. Four beautiful girls from our church volunteered to come with me and handle stuff, set up books, set up tables, do resources, do all this stuff. I get whisked away to eat with the pastor's wives. And these four beautiful volunteers, they're at the arena setting it all up. Well, I got done with dinner at 8:30 and realized that I'm going to have to get up at 5:15 in the morning Eastern, which is 4:15 in the morning Central. It is going to take Jesus to raise me from the dead at that hour, like legitimately. So as I'm there and I'm like, I'm just tired and I want to do a good job and I think I just want to go to bed. So I text the girls and I'm like, guys, I really want to go to bed. I'm sorry. You know, thanks. Is that all right with y'all? And I get a text back, oh, Pastor, we're getting ready to leave in 10 minutes. We'd really like to see you. So, okay, I can wait 10 minutes. So I waited 5 minutes with a good attitude. 10 minutes, I was still all right. 15 minutes, I was okay. 20 minutes, well, they, you know, need time to get here. 35 minutes in, I'm wondering if they were in a car accident. 45 minutes in, I'm hoping they were so I don't have to kill them. Anybody feel me? You ever been in this position? So then it's almost probably an hour later, and I'm like, hey. And they're like, Pastor, we're just getting ready to leave the arena. Face? Guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and put on my pajamas and go to bed. You have missed your window. Backspace, 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 backspace. See you when you get here. Smiley face. Oh, you've sent those texts. You have sent those texts. So I'm like, man, I wonder if I could put my pajamas on. They're just going to come to my room. I'm having this debate. So it's about 20 minutes later. They get there. They text me, and they're like, Pastor, so sorry. We're not going to come to your room. I'm like, praise God, I get to go to bed. We'd really like you to come downstairs to the restaurant for dinner. I'm like, I already ate dinner at 6:30. It's now almost 10 o'clock at night. I don't want to come down to dinner. Be right down, heart. I have to take myself outside of the hotel room and go down four whole floors in an elevator to get there. How inconveniencing. So I go down there. I'm like, I got to turn my frown upside down. Are you guys all right with me putting my Oscar the Grouch trash all out on the stage here? Okay. Don't judge. So I walk down there, I sit down, there is a one-page menu, there's a hamburger, there's a hot dog, there's nachos, there's soup, there's a salad, there's a French dip sandwich. It takes the waiter 15 minutes to get to our table. He gets there, they're like, hey ladies, can I take your order? The girls look up and go, oh, we're going to need a minute. Yeah, you're going to need a minute and a doctor. I cannot believe what's happening. And just so you know, I'm telling the story. One of those beautiful volunteers is sitting right here. I'm not looking. So I'm not figuring out what's happening. And you know what I didn't know? is that entire time behind the scenes, God was working on something. God was working on something. You see, here we are complaining in our prayer life to God. God, why aren't you moving? God, why are you taking so long? God, it's my time. God, why won't you heal me? God, where is that person? God, why can't I move forward? God, and we're complaining and we're grouching and we are Oscar the Grouch in our prayer time. If you've done it, say amen. Amen. And God's like, if you would just trust me, here I am. I'm lining stuff up. I'm moving stuff around. You can't see me because we can't see him because we're up here. But it doesn't mean that he's not working back here. You see, come on, go ahead and give him a clap of praise. We appreciate him, don't we? Here's what I didn't know. At 5 a.m. that morning in Florida, there was something happening I didn't know about. Check this out.
So, we just got to the hotel. She doesn't know yet. We actually went to her room. She wasn't there.
She's not here. She's downstairs.
She's downstairs.
We're going to see what she's doing next.
Stay tuned. Watch this next video.
This is 10:30 at night. There's me grouchy in the restaurant.
Is Nicole cranky in the house?
And there's my blessing showing up. God working on it the whole time. The girls can't order the food because they're stalling because these kids got up at 5 in the morning. They caught a plane from PBI to LaGuardia. They carried their suitcases around the city of New York City for 6 hours waiting on a train. They got on a train that took 2 hours to get to Connecticut. They got off the train and had to wait on an Uber. The Uber took them to the hotel. They go upstairs to find that I'm not in my room. They go down that same elevator with those happy faces to come downstairs and be a blessing to me because they know I had been believing God for this moment and they didn't want to miss it. Here's me grouching at the very people who are trying to line me up for my blessing. God, everybody say God.
God.
Romans 8:28. We know that God is working all things. Even when we're grouchy, God is working all things. Even when we're tired, God is working all things. Even when we think he's late, God is working
all things.
Even when we're over it, God is working
all things.
I can't see air, but I know it's real. I can't see gravity, but I know that's real too. I can't see emotions, but ask your spouse if they are real. We can't see God working. But he is really working for us. That's so good. It's so true. It's so honest. And yet we're trying. If I would have been asleep in my room where I wanted to be, God, why can't I be where I want to be? If I'd have been where I wanted to be, I would have missed the blessing. If I tried to preach the message today from here, would this work? Why wouldn't it work? I'm in the wrong spot. You see, we have to be lined up. We have to be in the right spot. And we can't be in the right spot when our attitudes are grouchy and we're just upset about the fact that things are not happening on our timeline. And we get to accusing God. Have you ever accused God of being late? Yeah, John 5, verse 17. God, you're late. What you doing? God, you're lazy. Because that's what we're accusing him of when we're accusing him of being late. And Jesus responds and says, I want you to know that my Father is always working, and so am I. You see, when we think God is busy doing nothing and we think we're alone, God, I'm alone in this. God's like, you're not alone in this. I'm the one holding up your right hand. I got Jesus on the other side holding up your left hand. The three of us are in this thing together. We're all working on it. If you just trust me, somebody go ahead and worship him because he's good. Because she's good. But we get upset. Yeah, Exodus 6. 6 in the Bible is the number of flesh. Exodus, the flesh, verse, the flesh, through 9. God gives these promises to his people through Moses. Check this out. It's so good. It says, therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Come on, then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land I swore to you with an uplifted hand to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession because I am the Lord. We would think we would receive that with a shout, right? Woo, Jesus. Except for we're more like the Israelites. You see, when the Israelites heard it, that was not the response. Because people are hard to please. You ever met somebody who seemed to be impossible to please? Oh, good, you've got a mirror. You see, here's a couple of stories from the news. There's this guy, and like these are legit stories from the Associated Press. There's a guy who robbed a Wendy's in Atlanta. He went to the Wendy's, he got $120. He got home, and he got so aggravated that the Wendy's had so little money in it, he got on the phone and called the manager of the Wendy's and complained to him about the fact there is so little money. They got his caller ID and arrested him because he called to complain. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you impossible to please? There's another guy in Syracuse, New York. He goes and he robs a bank. He gets 20 grand. He goes home. He gets away with it. But he got to thinking about the robbery. He's like, they took too long. They moved too slow. They were dragging their feet. Their service is terrible down there. I'm going to tell the manager. He gets back in his car, drives back to the bank, goes in and sits down to talk to the manager about their deplorable customer service. They recognize the car from the robbery. The manager's like, tell me about that, 911. The police come and arrest him because he's complaining about the service during the robbery. Yeah, we think that's funny. But God's in heaven going, here I am working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm moving around big things so that they can have an outcome that they don't even know that they're going to need yet. What are you talking about? Outcome we don't know we're going to need yet. Okay, let's talk about 2 Kings 4. There's this prophet, his name is Elisha. And Elisha gets hungry when he goes through this one town. So he keeps stopping at this lady's house. She keeps making him food. And he rests there. So his wife finally goes to the husband and says, hey, honey, Elijah keeps coming to town so much, and they're eating all the food and everything, and they're sleeping on the couch. They kind of smell bad. I think we need to make them their own section of the house. We need to add on to the house for these prophets. Husband says, you want to spend all the money on these jokers? She's like, yeah. So then they really start coming by the house, eating all the food, staying free, not paying rent. Reminds you of your cousin. So they keep doing it and doing it, and it feels like take, take, take. Everybody say take, take, take. You ever tell God, God, it just feels like I give, give, give. They take, take, take. There's no reciprocation. So Elisha one day says, God's moving on my heart. What does this woman want? Do you know? Gehazi says she wants a baby. Elisha prays about it, and God says she's going to have a baby this time next year. So he gets up, Ferguson Florissant, and he says, woman, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And she says, don't play with me, prophet. I didn't ask you for nothing. Don't make me a promise that you can't keep. Don't get my hopes up, because my hopes have been up before and they've been dashed and I've been up and down and I'm not doing it again. And he said, no, it's going to come to pass. Sure enough, that time next year, she has a baby. Well, the baby grows. 1 year goes by, 5 years goes by, a decade goes by, 15 years goes by. The baby is grown and working out in the fields with a daddy. Well, here it is. Elisha, he's still coming to the house, still eating all the free food, still staying rent-free for 15 years. Take, 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 take. God, you want me to pay my tithes, and you want me to give an offering on top of that, and then you want me to pray, and you want me to spend my time, and you want me to serve, and you want me to be nice to people who aren't nice to me. God, you ask too much. Take, 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 take. take. Sometimes they're impossible to please. And God's behind the scenes. Well, the baby, he's out in there. He falls down, and he dies after grabbing his head. We don't know if he had a brain aneurysm. We don't know if it was a brain tumor. But all we know is he falls. Mama picks him up, puts him in his bed, and calls the prophet. And in verse 28, she says to the prophet, "Did I ask you for a son? Did I even ask you for all this? I told you don't deceive me. I told you, God, don't be putting promises in this book that I don't get. God, what's going on?" And the prophet prays for the child, and the child comes back to life. And as I read that, God spoke to me. And he said, everybody is great with the miracle that she had the baby. Everybody's great with the miracle that I raised the son from the dead. But here's the part that they miss. You see, I had to wait on the prophet and the woman to make a connection before I could give the woman the baby, because I knew all along that the baby was going to die. So I need to make sure that the prophet was going to be there to pray for the child, to raise the child from the dead. I didn't ever hold the baby back from her. I was waiting until she was connected to the prophet to make sure the baby was going to come back to life. God is working on a miracle that you're not even going to need for 20 more years. You don't even know the problem yet, and he's working on the solution. He's that good. He's that wild. And he's got signs for you, like a sign. So here I am. I'm in the arena, if you guys won't mind playing that arena footage. So I go in the arena. It's a dirty place. It's a nasty place. They play ice hockey there. They got all these banners in the hallway, concession stands with beer and all that stuff. And they're walking me out to go speak. I wore the same suit so that we would match. And down at the end of the hallway, do you see that red sign? And that red sign at the end of the hallway, and you guys can go ahead and turn that off. The red sign at the end of the hallway, as I walk by it, it says Frontier Communications. Well, I'm freaking out. Nobody else. I point to the sign. Tina was there. I point to the sign and I go, what? Is that company still in business? Nobody answers me. Everybody looks at me kind of funny. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Does anybody know? Is that company still in business? People look at me like I'm crazy. So I stop talking. And I just start walking into the arena, freaking out, because in 1997, I worked for Frontier Communications when I met a man named David Crank. Oh, it gets better than that. In 1999, while I still worked for the company, they got bought out by a company named Global Crossing. Frontier Communications stock went away. Global Crossing became our name, and that became our publicly traded stock. Then, in 2001, Global Crossing went bankrupt, and all of that went away. And then, in 2011, Level 3 Communications bought the leftover assets from the bankruptcy of Global Crossing. So you got Level 3, Global Crossing. You've got the fact that they were bought out. Frontier Communications is like four levels down, four levels gone. In 1999, 20 years ago, this company went out of business, and yet as I'm walking into the blessing that God had for me, I see the name of the place that I was as I walked into ministry. So I'm trying to process all of this, so I walk in to the worship arena, and you guys got some footage of the arena. This place, it seats 8,000 people. So it's this huge arena. Go ahead and play that for 1 second. God love them, they're trying to make that computer work. Computer, work in Jesus' name. So here is this arena. There is that platform way up there. And at this point, they got all the banners and everything off. So they take me through here. I go to the front row. I get on the front row. They put me there because I can't sing and nobody can hear me from there. And I lift my hands, and as I lift my eyes to heaven, I see this sign up to the top right of the platform. I circled it so that you can see it. What does it say? Frontier Communications. It was the only sign by the platform. There wasn't a bunch of them, Weldon Spring. There wasn't signs everywhere by the platform. There was the platform and this sign. And as I lifted my eyes to God, I see a sign, and he speaks to my heart, and he said, 20 years ago, when you didn't even know that you wanted to be here, yeah. I preserved a small part of this company, and I made them sponsor this particular arena so that when you got here, you would know I went out before you. And this was all of me and none of you. And I've been waiting on you to get here. You see, my past was actually paying for my future. I'm telling you right now, Ferguson Florissant, your past, no matter what it looks like, is paying for your future. God is out there working on your behalf. Somebody praise you. Woo! Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, the Lord himself. The Lord doesn't send like, oh, this problem's okay. We're going to send an area manager of angels out to handle it. No, the Lord himself. Oh, no, this is a big problem. God's like, I got to send a president angel to go out and handle this problem. No, the Lord himself goes out before you, preserves the part of the company, has them put a sign in this arena, in that particular spot, and make sure it's still there on the day that you get there. The Lord himself goes up before you and makes sure that the right prayer partners and the right eye connect are set around you for that time when it looks like something in your life is going to die. Come on, somebody get it. The Lord himself is connecting you with the right doctor who is the only person who can bring that thing to pass. The Lord himself is setting up that person who's going to be married to you for the rest of your life. The Lord himself is opening a door. Revelation says no man can close. The Lord is doing it. The Lord is doing it. And he's not just out before you. It says that the Lord is with you. So he's out there, and then he's right here, and he's working for you, and he's working behind the scenes, and God is holding up one hand, and Jesus is holding the other hand, and he's still making a way out on the path in front of you. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. When you don't know who you are, God knew you. When you didn't know what you were capable of, God knew you. When there was a call on your life and it hadn't even begun to manifest yet, you were just somebody selling something on the streets. God knew what you were capable of. He knew you. Jeremiah 1:5, he had a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11, it was a good plan to give you a future and a hope. God is working, and he is working on stuff that is so much bigger than we can ask. Ephesians 3:20. So much bigger than we can think, and so much bigger than we can imagine, because he is exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. Somebody praise him, because he's good. He's good. There's another story. So this guy, I meet this guy, Mike, after the Saturday night service. Never met him before. He said, Pastor, you just told my story. I said, what? He said, yeah, I was working with a job with this bunch of jerks, partying, rude, inconsiderate. I had to go to this dinner with them. And I asked my wife if I could lie. She's like, no, God wouldn't like that. I'm like, you're right. So we prayed together. I had my hands 10 and 2, and we were on the phone. We prayed together. God, give me any excuse to miss this dinner. He said, I arrived on time, and I was the only one there. I had to wait 25 minutes for those jerks. Be that late. But while I was waiting, this face walks in. One of my best friends, I hadn't seen him in 7 years. It was so exciting. We were catching up. My friend said, you're not going to believe this. 2 hours ago, I just said your name. Then this other guy walks in to meet the other guy, and they talk for a few minutes and get to know each other a little bit, and then those two guys go out to their dinner. His friends finally show up, or his coworkers finally show up. They have their dinner. It was miserable. He went home feeling defeated. So he's going home thinking it's awful, and then 2 months go by. Everybody say 2 months. Long time goes by. And then 1 week, he gets 5 phone calls for jobs. He's like, I'm not even looking for a job. He finally goes on one interview. So Weldon Spring, he goes on this interview. And when he's on this interview, he realizes, this is not for me. I'm not interviewing. I'm not moving this place. I don't even feel right about this. And then the next day, he gets a phone call, and it's his friend. His friend says, hey, do you remember when I told you that I had said your name 2 hours earlier? You see, the guy that was with me that night is the CEO of my company. He came in town because we created a new high-level position, and he was wondering if I had any prospects for the position, and I brought up your name. When I walked into the restaurant and saw your face, I realized this is a sign. Look at your neighbor right now, all campus, and say, here's your sign. So online campus, he said, then when my CEO got to meet you, he did a quick interview with you, and we talked about you over dinner. I just got permission to put together a killer compensation package and offer you the job. Woo! Turn to your neighbor, tell him, you're next. If we could read the back of the book first, if we could try to stop working things out before their time has come, God turns caterpillars into butterflies. He turns sand into pearls. He turns dirty coal into diamonds. But we got to stand still and know that he is God. What happens is we find ourselves impatient, tired, hungry, not wanting to go downstairs at the restaurant. And we serve the author of patience. In Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5, it says, make God the utmost delight and pleasure of your life, and he will provide for you what you desire the most. Give God the right to direct your life, and as you trust him along the way, you'll find out that he pulled it off perfectly. A few scriptures down. Go ahead, you can worship him, it's all right. A few scriptures down. Don't be impatient for the Lord to act. Keep moving forward steadily in his ways, and he will exalt you at the right time. And when he does, you will possess every promise, including your full inheritance. Come on, somebody. God is working on it. So as I was worshiping, looking at that sign, by the way, if you prayed and asked God for a sign, here's your sign. Looking up at that sign, God told me, would you like this to happen faster? Yeah. He told me I could have done it faster if you had trusted me faster and obeyed me faster. So Weldon, Ferguson, Florissant online, I want to ask you a question. Do we want to wait for today's blessing and get it next year, in 5 years, in 10 years? Or do we want to let him have his way, line us up to do the stuff we don't want to do? We don't want to go to dinner at the restaurant. We don't want to go to dinner if you were Mike. We don't want to do the thing. We don't want to do the giving. We don't want to do the serving. We don't want to pour out. We don't want to join an I Connect. I've gotten too much. God said, no, it's just a little bit. But I need you to trust me with it. You see, I got this message on Instagram from this girl. And it really broke my heart as I was reading it. She said, my boyfriend of 2 years, I found out he was cheating. I feel worthless and unwanted, and I just need you to pray for me. And you see, I read that message and I thought, she doesn't see God. She feels worthless and unwanted because this man cheated on her and didn't treat her right. The way I see it, it's the God of the universe, the creator of everything, loved her so deeply and wants her so much, he started opening doors and shutting light on windows so that that man would be found out, because she didn't want 10 years with a man and children and hurt and heartache and not being treated right. Get him out of the way so the blessing can come. That's you. God cares about you so much. Let it go. There's some guy over here going, God, I need my wife. 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 God, where's my wife? He's like, she's over here holding on to some joker. I'm trying to expose him. So sometimes God's waiting on us to be a blessing. So if you'd stand with me, I want to give you an opportunity to say, God, I might not have been lined up right, but I'm willing to change that today. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Or if you've stepped away, I want you to reconnect with him today. I don't want you to miss God. I don't want you to miss his blessing, but I do want you to miss hell. And when you make this decision, heaven becomes your home after this earth. Every promise that we just talked about, it becomes yours. And you're never alone again because you get an entire family of believers around you. So if you would bow your heads at all campuses, if you want God to lead your life today because you've stepped away or you've never made this decision, would you go ahead and just raise your hand right now and let God know, God, pick me, choose me, it's me. Put it up high. Let God see it. Don't be ashamed of him. Everybody's got their head bowed. And then with our eyes closed, I want everybody to pray this prayer with us. Say, dear God, I need you in my life. I've sinned, but your grace came through Jesus, dying on the cross for me. You died for me, and I will live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Would you just give God a hand clap of praise for the people who are going to miss hell and get heaven, get connected and get the blessing.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.